Here's a good way to look at it. So I don't know officially when you started everything, but I know that on some of the sites, it says that you professionally started repairing computers in 1991. Does that sound That's about correct. Right? Okay.
That is correct.
I started in 1992. It is 2020. We're still here. So we've done something right.
We're still here. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, computers were a hobby of mine in the 80s. I just didn't get paid for it until 1991. So that's when the clock starts with the word professional.
Okay. Computers were not my hobby growing up.
No?
No. I was into sports and student government.
Sports?
Yes.
You call yourself a nerd.
I know. I did not play. Actually, I tell you that I did play arcade games, but I did not play video games.
What's the difference? What's an arcade game?
Well, back in the day, it was when you went to the arcade and played Galaga. Oh,
those are video games like Galaga, Space Invader. I got you. I wasn't sure if you were referring to pinball.
No,
like, why didn't he just say pinball?
No, I'm talking about like these, you know, the games.
You're talking about consoles.
Consoles, online games, all of that stuff.
Well, there was no online.
Back then.
I grew up... thinking I was going to be an auto mechanic, really. Went to school to be an auto mechanic.
Interesting. I thought I was going to be president.
Wow. Did you honestly believe you were going to be president?
I did. I was a congressional intern.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We were taught growing up that the world owes you nothing, that you can accomplish anything you want, and anybody could be president of the United States. What they didn't tell us is you got to be really, really wealthy first if you ever want to consider being president of the United States. And the other thing they didn't tell us is when they said you could be anything and have anything if you work hard enough, what they didn't tell us is that you can't be everything and have everything. You're going to have to sacrifice
something,
a lot of things, to get that one thing you truly want.
Yep.
And that would have been really helpful to me at 11 years old to have heard that. Because when I entered the workforce, I was very naive. And I've shared that story about the tough, I almost got fired a couple of times for doing the right thing. And when I say doing the right thing, I mean doing the thing that would save the company money, was more efficient, it was more reliable. But what it did is it made the person way above me look like an idiot. And if you're a person in a really high position, and some new smart aleck kid starts and starts making you look like an idiot, that smart aleck kid probably isn't going to be around real long.
Absolutely.
He's got to learn how to play ball.
That's right.
You know? And I was not prepared for that. The school system did not, college did not prepare me for that level of politics. And so I came into it very naive. And I try to warn other people. Again, it takes me back to the thing I'm always harping on, which is, what a home user can do and what a business user can do are not often anywhere near related.
Right. Two different things.
I had a machine come in that had a bad reset switch, and I ordered a whole new front piece for it. And they're like, couldn't you have just disconnected the reset switch? And I went, yeah, if I was a hack, if I'm just a home user, but I'm a professional computer repair shop and it's my job to fix it. And it, so what? It was under warranty. I didn't have to send the old one back. It just means I have the thing sitting on a bench for a couple of days till the mail arrives with the new reset switch. And it's 4 minutes to plug it in and hook it up. Even if the customer never uses it again, I did the job right. I didn't just put some duct tape on it and go good enough.
Right.
That might work for a home user. And it might even work for a business for a short period of time.
Short term.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not sustainable. If that's the kind of quality of work you want to put your name behind, you're not building yourself a very good reputation. And, so this idea that there are the two schools of thought in the world that we are. And then as you may have listeners that are home users and may hear this for just, it's interesting. And they're often home users I deal with that will try and help me by telling me how I could have put some duct tape on it. And I'm just kidding. I'm like, that doesn't work in the world of business. And I want people to know that, because if they want to go into this as a career, I don't want them to be so naive as I was. I don't want them to be blindsided the way I was. I want them to be better prepared. And I feel like that's missing overall with a lot of content online. People talking about overclocking, RGB lighting, and liquid cooling. Let me ask you a question. In all your business clients in your career, how many computers have you overclocked for any clients? How many liquid coolers have you installed for any clients?
Okay. I'll answer that this way. I've never installed a water cooler. And the last CPU that I overclocked was going from the 486 DX66 to the DX33 to the DX66.
In other words, you doubled your speed?
Well,
you got a 100% increase on your overclock?
That's what they said.
Well, that's worth doing then, isn't it? When you're getting a 100% increase?
But that was back
that's
then.
That's worth doing.
Yeah.
What about RGB lighting? No. Or did we talk about that? So RGB lighting, you don't do that.
Don't do that.
Liquid cooling, you don't do that.
Do not.
Overclocking, you don't do that.
Nope.
Lapping a CPU, deleting it, any of that?
No.
But yet, if you go on YouTube and you go on a lot of forums, that's all the discussion is about. And now I'm afraid there's some young adult going, this is a lot of fun. I'd love to do this for a living. And somebody needs to shake him and go, nobody's going to pay you to do this for a living. This doesn't happen in corporate America.
Well,
and it's okay that you're interested in it. And it's okay that they're doing it. Now, don't misunderstand. They're enthusiasts.
Yep.
Enthusiasts are good. But understand what you're watching or reading, where that source is the source of information coming from somebody who has no liability, or is the source of information coming from somebody who has liability?
And that's where I always draw the line with what my customers, and when I say my customers, because my customer is really the business owner who is making the decisions for the business. But a lot of times the staff will want to offer their opinion about, well, you know, you can do this.
Yeah.
And I always have to tell the business owner, okay, I don't do that. And there's a reason I don't do that. And if you want them to do it, who covers when that system doesn't work? Because they're not professional in what they're doing. Yeah. They saw a YouTube video and they may have done it to their home machine, but this is a work computer. So if that computer is not working, what does that mean for you?
I had a very recent experience where the customer, they had DSL and their internet was so slow. And they finally got, they had to pay like $10,000 to the cable company to run the cable. But they finally got high speed, true high speed internet to their building. And it requires them to have a specific modem because they have VoIP. It's not a home. It's not the same kind of modem you'd find in a house.
Okay.
And the owner's son knows everything about every subject ever. And that's a different issue altogether. I think he's just trying to prove his worthiness. I think throughout his life, people have underestimated his abilities. And now he needs to show everybody how he can do everything. And it's really annoying. He tells his father, you know, you're paying a monthly rental on that modem. I got a spare modem at home. I'll bring in. We'll use that one. Just have Kerry put it in. So I have to have a discussion with his father. That doesn't work. So then his son calls me because he feels like I just undermined him. And he said, you know, we're paying a monthly rental on this. I go, yeah, that's fine. And we can replace it, but we've got to use one that the cable company will use on their network. He goes, oh, they'll use this on their network. I'll call them. I will make a phone call and I can promise you I will get them. I go, no, see, this is not a home. This is a business. And even if you could do that, you wouldn't want to, because there's reasons why. It's not just random. They didn't just throw a dart at a board and go, it's going to be this model of Aris modem or Cisco or whatever. They their support, the people that answer the phone, are given scripts. They won't have scripts for this. They won't be able to help you with it. And your whole business will be down. Your phones will be down. Your network will be down. And then who are you going to call? Whose emergency is that going to be? That's going to be on me. Because you want to save $15 a month. Well, that's fine. These are the modems. I called the company. They gave us two models of modems that are acceptable. Here are the links to Amazon. And if you buy them, I'll get it set up. Buy one or the other.
Right.
He goes, oh, those are DOCSIS 3.1. Those overheat and melt. I go, they absolutely do not overheat and melt. He goes, yeah, they do. I can pull up an Amazon review page right now, and I bet you I can scroll down the first page and I can find you at least five negative reviews. And I looked at this kid and I went, do you know any of those reviewers? Do you know what their technical abilities are? Do you know who I am? Do you know how long I've been doing what I'm doing? Do you know if those reviewers might be from competitors just trying to talk badly of the product? Or what's my incentive? What's my agenda? Why would I tell you there's not a problem? Wouldn't I know? And you're not going to take my opinion over some stranger on Amazon? And just because the reviews fall in a certain order, you've come to the conclusion that every modem ever made that's DOCSIS 3.1 gets hot and melts? So yes, this is exactly what we're talking about when it comes to the kid is an employee. He mm-hmm. thinks he knows better.
Yep.
And he's going to tell me how to do my job, but he has no liability. I'm the one who's going to have the liability for the decisions he's making. So I have to go to his boss, which is his father, and say, here's what your son's trying to do. Here's the father got so sick of this. He goes, Kerry, he goes, what do you want me to do? I said, I want you to know that your son and I are having an issue, and I want to keep you informed about it because I'm afraid of what's being said about me when I'm not here. And I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. So this has happened before. And he goes, he says, Kerry, don't worry about what my kid says. You're fine. You're not going anywhere. Just don't even talk about this with me anymore. Just do what you know is right. And I'm like, oh, I wish I had more customers like you.
Yep.
I have literally lost a job because I upset the owner's daughter. I wouldn't do something she wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. And in all fairness, he did warn me. He told me the day I took the job, as long as you keep my daughter happy, you'll be here forever.
Well, yeah, true to his word.
He was true to his word. She and I got along great for about a year, and then things started to go downhill, and she was trying to get me to do something I didn't do. And I said, you know, maybe you should hire somebody who does that. And she says, well, I'll let my father know you don't want to work here anymore. Okay, that's not what I said, but okay, if that's what you want to tell your father, I can't control what you tell your father. And then that was the end of that job.
Interesting.
Wow. I'll let him know you don't want to work here then. Yeah, because clearly that's what I said.
Wow.
But but that ultimately was the best decision because that company soon thereafter filed for bankruptcy. Hmm. So a lot of what we're talking about is sort of common sense when it comes to sustaining a business. If you want to take shortcuts, if you're going to hire an expert and then not listen to the expert, it's just not likely going to be sustainable.
Right.
Absolutely. For a number of reasons. It may not work well. It may cost a lot of money to maintain. It may be a lot of downtime. And I often find, as I'm sure you do, that I'm the one who gets the call to fix it. Even if I wasn't the one who recommended it, I wasn't the one who installed it, and I had nothing at all to do with the decision that was made to put it in. I'll be the guy to call to fix it. And that's what I do for a living. It sounds like I'm complaining, but in a perfect world, we could make this a lot less stressful if you would just consult with me. I'll advise you on what to buy. I can provide it to you as an option. And then going forward, I will be prepared to, deal with anything that happens because I'm aware that it's there and what it's for, why you purchased it and how it's configured. And it's less likely to ever go down because of that. And so for clients that I have on managed service contracts, it's wonderful to have a regular income I can rely on. And it can be a little difficult from time to time when a customer might say, why are we paying you? We never see you. as far as we can tell, you do nothing. We've had no system problems, and we've had no data loss. And I have to say, you've had no system problems or data loss because I'm making your backups. I'm doing a lot of work remotely, and I come in after hours for my clients so I don't interrupt productivity. So you can focus on what you're doing, and I'm taking care of your computers. And this is what we agreed on years ago when we set this up, and you've forgotten. The customer says to me, what if we stopped using you? What would happen? You ever have a customer say that to you?
Oh, yeah.
How did you respond?
Well, the time that that came up, I said, well, you might be fine for a while, but at some point, you're going to have to call somebody if you're not going to call me. Because all the things that we do in the background for your virus and malware protection, for your updates, it has to get done somehow. So the question is do you want me to continue to do it? Or do you want to take on that responsibility yourself or call somebody else to do it?
This is a valid answer. I sort of went in a similar way. I said, do you take your car for an oil change, even though there's nothing wrong with your car? Do you do that? Yeah. And do you see them do the work? No. And then you paid money and your car's exactly the same way it was. Like they didn't make it any better. Doesn't look any different. Doesn't run any different. Mm-hmm. Why did you do that? Now, if you asked the mechanic, what would happen if you just never changed my oil again? Who knows? You know, car might run for years. May not. But if you want to wait till there's a problem, now you're being reactive instead of proactive. Now you want to add stress in my world. You want to wait until you have a problem to call me? Like I got nothing else better to do. I'm sitting around looking at my phone. I'm a fireman mm-hmm. and I'm just waiting for somebody
waiting
to tell
for
me
the call.
Fire. And I said, I'm not going to work for you on an hourly as needed basis. That is far too stressful and I'm too old. Maybe when I was 20, I'd have taken it as money. You know, it's a job and I'll take it. I go, I have been in this client. I've been working for this client for 10 years, never once raised his rate. That's how I rewarded his loyalty, as I kept the rate the same. And I reminded him, I said, are you making more money 10 years ago today than you were 10 years? He goes, yeah. I go, I'm not. You're paying me the exact same amount. Have you had any data loss in 10 years? Nope. Have you had any downtime in 10 years? Nope. Do you think that's just by luck or do you think I might have had something to do with it? And I said, let me remind you. And I wasn't being challenging. I was a very friendly tone of voice. I go, I'm in a career where I hear everything's broken all the time. Why are we paying you? Or I hear nothing ever breaks. Everything's always working. Why do we pay you? And I said, imagine yourself in my position. I feel like I've been doing a very good job here. I feel like your employees all like me. And I go above and beyond. I don't nickel and dime you. Never once. Anytime you've asked me to do something outside of the contract, I just do it because I think it's good customer service and it will be a reason why you won't leave me. And yet I've done all of that for you and you want to leave me anyway. And so I don't have that customer anymore.
And have they called you since?
No, but if they called me, I would not say no, but I would have a big number in my head. What would make it worth knowing that if I do everything right, they will punish me and let me go? And I'll tell you something else. Any backups that I kept offsite, I told the customer, I said, I am no longer maintaining your list, like your GoDaddy login and your domain information. I am no longer maintaining your passwords, your Wi-Fi at home, your Wi-Fi at your summer house, your Wi-Fi at the office, the SSID names and password. I'm not maintaining that anymore. When your wife calls for support, I'm not here anymore. I am not doing that. And your backups, those backup drives will be returned to you because I don't want to have any sort of liability. Your keys to the building and the file that I have with your names and passwords that I've, you know, collected that you can never seem to remember, I'm attaching that to this email and I am erasing it. So you will not be able to come back to me and say, oops, we erased everything. I will not have your data.
Yep.
Because it's too big of a liability. It's illegal. So good luck. I'm, you know, like the dealer at the craps table or the blackjack table. I'm, you know, smacking my hands and holding my hands up going, I'm out.
Yep.
I'm sure that they would like that. I'm sure that they would like someday they get ransomware and go, Kerry, do you still have that backup you made the last time you worked here? And I'm going to go, yes. That sounds like a lawsuit right there. Why do you still have it?
Right.
But on the other hand, they'd be elated. Oh my God, we've got a backup offsite that wasn't affected. We'll take it. You know, at that point, you're desperate. And this customer has never experienced any sort of data loss. Like they had a customer who erased his camera memory card and needed to recover the files, where he'd have to get back on a plane to go back to take pictures again. And we were able to recover them. And because I didn't document everything and send it to the boss, I talked to this person on this day for this many minutes. He didn't know anything was going on. You know, if his wife called, if the secretary called, if one of the employees called, nobody knew the other person was calling. And he had no idea how much work I was doing. So as far as he was concerned, why are we paying you? Right. It made me feel like he was suggesting I was taking advantage of him or ripping him off.
Right.
And it was like, this was my thank you.
So I had a situation where that sort of happened, where I did have a customer leave. And of course, I was happy to see them go because it was a situation where they did not want to take my advice. They did not want to pay for the support. They actually had a server that needed repair that one of their staffers thought that they knew better how to repair. So when I told them, if you choose to have somebody else repair this, that means that we are done. If you choose to allow your staff person to touch the server, that means that we are done. And so they said, okay, we'll take that chance. And so I said, okay. And I gave them their stuff. And I did not hear from them for about a year. Now, the second opportunity to work with them came because another lawyer from another firm went to work for them. And they were having so many problems. And this lawyer told them, well, you know, I worked with Marvin and we never had those problems with him. Can I get him? And they said, oh no, we've used Marvin. We don't want to use him. And she said, well, you're going to keep having these problems unless you get somebody either like Marvin or you get Marvin. I know Marvin. I trust Marvin. So she convinced them to call me back. So I went back and we had the big meeting that I always have where if somebody leaves me, you know, if we're going to join again, we have to abide by a different set of rules this time. Meaning that you're going to listen to me. I will still give you options and choices. It's not like I'm going to have you over a barrel, but there is a different understanding this time around that we're going to do things right and we're not going to have all of these things happen. So that lasted for about another year until I found out that once again, the staffer had tried to do a repair on the server rather than call me.
They were trying to save money?
They were trying to save money.
Is it the same staffer?
Yes.
So if they didn't have that staffer, like that was probably the only one who thought they were even qualified. If that person had left or been fired, this wouldn't even been an opportunity, right?
Yeah.
It's just that one person.
It's that one person. But the fact is, if the business owner allowed for this to happen, it wasn't like the staffer took it upon themselves to do it, and the business owner knew, you know, the managing partner knew, approved it and said, yes, do that. We don't want to call Martin. So at that point, I said, okay, we're done. Here's all your stuff. And at that point, we were doing full managed services for them. We were doing their antivirus, the web protection, their backup. We were doing some other stuff for them with their website and all of that stuff. So I said, we're done. Deleted all their information out of our server and network and everything. Removed all the agents. And about 6 months later, they called and said, we have corruption in our database. Can you fix it for us? And I said, no. They said, well, you were doing our backups. Can you restore the backup? I said, no. Because if you remember, I told you when we're done, we're all done. And I sent you everything that we had. And at that time, I think they were doing a local backup. They weren't doing the cloud backup.
Right.
And I said, that's it. What you have is what you have. You chose not to do a cloud backup. You chose not to do this. And when we were done, all of our services turned off and their backup had actually been corrupt for months after we stopped working with them. So they lost, I think the consultant that worked with them was able to restore a backup from a database that they were lucky to have somehow, that they only lost 4 months of data.
Well, that's a lot of data to lose.
But it was still a chunk. And it's that sort of thing where, you know, you're paying me this for a reason, not just because I made up some number and I want to, you know, make a ton of money. It's, you know, the value that I place on my services is justified based on the
liability.
Well, liability and based on, this is the same service you're, and here's the thing. This is, okay, let me get to really where the crux of this is. So a lot of times I go up against larger companies. I go up against, you know, $1 million managed service providers, $10 million managed service providers. And, you know, of course the argument is always, well, you know, they want to charge us a ton of money, so we don't want to go with them. And then I give them the quote and they're like, okay, you're charging us almost as much as they are. And I'm like, okay, it's not that I'm charging you as much money as they are just because of size. It's because of the service we're offering. I'm offering you the same level and quality of service.
Probably better. You know, because they might deal with one person one day, another person another day, another person the day after that. They may never see the same person twice.
Right. And if they call in to support, you know, they've got to re-explain everything and, you know, they may not get the same.
Exactly.
So I tell them, I said, I'm providing the same service. It's not like, you know, just because I'm me, I can give it to you at such cheaper stuff. And I know that there are techs that do that, but that's not me. So that's where it really came down to, is they thought I was overcharging them just so that I can make more money than the big boys. And I'm like, no, that's not, you know, I use the same tools as the big boys. It costs me just as much. Now, they may get a little more of a discount in volume, but if we're looking at the same level of service and the same quality of product, you know, I'm not selling you, you know, the cheapest modem firewall there is. I'm not selling you the cheapest server there is. I'm not selling you the cheapest computer there is. I'm selling you a quality product and I'm giving you a quality service. If you don't want to pay for that and you want to go, and, you know, and I get this a lot of times because I'm close to South Florida. I'm in Miami, you know, and there's always somebody that'll do it cheaper. But I know that a lot of people have that everywhere. Everywhere there's somebody that can do it cheaper.
Yeah, but they're not going to do it as well.
Right.
Or with such consistency, mm-hmm. or have the history that I have or that you have that,
right.
that we can use as a foundation to justify. Let me ask you a question. I found this to be pretty fascinating. When you're working with somebody who's 20 years old in any aspect, like my pest control guy was here and he had a young kid, he was training. And I'm a little uncomfortable with strangers walking through my house. This is the third time he's brought a third person into my house. And it's always a new person he's training. And this guy, he's an older guy. He's probably late 50s. And he's been doing pest control for like 30 years. He understands what kills bugs, what kind of problems are in Arizona, how you can get rid of scorpions and how you can, you know, where they tend to congregate in a house out here, and kind of issues that come from years and years of experience, which chemicals work, which chemicals don't, how much chemical to apply. So he's training somebody who's clearly not woken up one day going, oh, I want to fulfill my dream of being a pest control guy.
Right.
This is a kid going, I'm just going to do this till I can earn enough money to get to college. Now, if you ask me, which guy do I want spraying my house? I want the guy who's been doing it 30 years. But it doesn't always convey to more value. I was at a pizza shop, and these guys are from Albania. And the guy's got to be in his 60s. He's out there, you know, he's at the kitchen spinning the dough and putting down the tomato sauce. Got that thick Albanian accent, you know, and I'm fascinated. Tell me about Albania. I've never been basically outside the United States. So let me travel virtually. You tell me what it's like. People like to talk about where they're from. You know, he's flattered and we're talking. And he mentioned he made pizza there. He had a plate. I go, well, how? I'm sorry. Yeah, Albania. So I said, how long have you been making pizzas? He goes, I've been making pizzas all my life. You know, I've been in a restaurant for 30, 40 years. I go, isn't that interesting that I can call Domino's and have a teenager make my pizza, and for the exact same amount of money, I come over here and have a guy who's been doing it for 30 years make my pizza. Wonder which pizza's probably going to be made better. And isn't that a shame that in his line of work, that's not really revered? It doesn't really have any value. And in our line of work, I used to laugh when I was first getting started looking at the help wanted ads in the newspaper before the internet. And it would say technician wanted, 10 years of experience needed,
right.
or, and I'm like, are they working on equipment that's 10 years old? What good is having knowledge from 10 years ago? That's no good. In this industry, you want knowledge from today, from what's recent. And it used to really upset me. Like, I thought, this is not a benefit. This is a detriment. But when I'm quoting a customer, I want them to know what I've accomplished. And it's a fine line between coming across as egotistical, right? I'm trying to establish, look, I've written a book, I've done a nationwide radio talk show, I've taught at the college. And I'm not doing that to say, look at how wonderful I am. What I'm doing is I'm trying to say, if you're going to compare me with somebody else, what's their background? What makes them worth what I'm worth? You know, what sort of history do they have? And is it verifiable? Right. You know, you can Google my name and you can see the things I'm proud of that I accomplished and things I'm not so proud of. But it's all out there,
yep.
Right? From the internet and the forums back in the day. There's messages for me arguing with morons about something about Windows 95 or whatever. It's still out there today that I'm not proud of, but it does prove that I've been in the industry a long time. So even if I was a complete moron in 30 years, I must know something, right? And that should be worth a little bit more money and a little bit more confidence and peace of mind that I'm not going anywhere. I will be here. I won't just suddenly stop returning your calls, which is I've had a number of issues where people say, you know, a guy came out here and started this job. We've not seen or heard from him since. So can you come here and finish the job that was started?
Oh, yeah.
I've never done that to a customer. I've never abandoned a customer or freaked out. If I ever got in over my head, I'll tell you one bad mistake I made. I was at Thyssen Elevator Company, which merged with Dover, big elevator company. Like if you've ever been on an elevator or an escalator, it probably says Thyssen or Dover on it. That's how big this company is. And I worked with one of their satellite offices, and they had this old cable. I forget what it's called. It's about 2 inches thick. And it used to, what was it called?
You were going to say coax.
Well, it was a coaxial cable. I'm trying to think what the name of the cable was. Axial 7 or it'll come to me. But it was a very heavy 2-inch thick. I want to say it was about 2 inches thick. And it would run to the way it used to run is it would run to the back of a machine. And then from the back of the machine, it had to come back out and go back up into the ceiling. and then run down to the next machine. It had it in and out, in other words, like old 10 base 2. Gosh, I wish I could remember the name of that cable. But the ceiling was starting to bend.
So are you trying to think of like the, what is it, the triaxial, is that the name? That is it, the type of cable, that not the RG6.
Yeah, not the end of the... all I can tell you, it was a cable I never saw in my life. Okay. It was for equipment that was like well before I entered the field. Maybe stuff my dad used. But they had one of those ceilings where they have the little tiles. What's that called? There's a name for that. Man, getting old.
Not the acoustical tile you're talking.
No, just like a regular office building and had the white tiles you push up on.
Yeah.
What's that called? Anyway.
Drop ceiling?
Yeah, it's a drop ceiling. Okay. Yeah, that's what it is. Well, it was starting to bow from the weight of the cable.
Okay.
Now, I wasn't asked, but I thought, because I'm OCD, I'm going to clear all this old heavy cable out of here. I'm going to do them a favor. Do something they didn't ask me to do before the ceiling collapses. And I noticed they had two cables running out of the building into the building behind it, where they had a warehouse behind the main building. And these cables were visually identical. And knowing that the cable requires one in and one out, I assumed incorrectly that both cables were just unnecessary.
Oh.
And so there were some employees standing outside smoking, and I had these huge wire cutters because this was a big, thick cable. And I said, you want to see something? You want to see something crazy? I want to cut this cable. And I know what you're thinking. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm like, oh, Carrie, man, you better be careful. I'm like, nah, it'll be fine. Watch this. Cut the first cable. No problems. It's exactly the right cable. Basically has like one wire in it or something. Mm-hmm. The other cable that's running right alongside of it, and it's basically it's a cable that's running out of the building, across the fence, and into the next building. So I'm just standing at the fence, and I go, okay, I'm going to do the other one. I'm going to do it. You dare me? I'm going to do it. And I'm just joking with employees. And I cut it, and it's got about 48 cables inside of it. And I went, what the hell is this? And then I heard, all our phones went down. What happened? And I went, oh.
Fudge.
It only had one cable going in. Because it was the best I can explain, it was like 10 base 2, right?
So like the old token ring. The old token ring.
Yeah, token ring. You would have to run it into the back of the computer and do a T connector and then back out. And then you would have to terminate the end.
Right.
Right. Sort of like old SCSI interface, things like that. So, well, not like it, but in the sense that you had to terminate the end and you sort of had it in it. And that's a bad example. Anyway.
I know what you're talking about. So
I start like twisting these cables back together by hand, trying to get their phones back up in the warehouse. This is an outdoor cable. I can't leave it like that.
Right.
And furthermore, there's 48 individual wires and I'm having a real hard time figuring out
which one
the
is
color
which.
Differences, which goes where. So I end up calling a phone guy that I know. He came out and had to replace that cable. Cost me, it was an emergency call, so there was an emergency rate. I want to say it was $1,200. Mm. And so the client, I said, look, I made a mistake. I honestly made a mistake. I was doing something as a favor. No one asked me to do it. Those cables were unnecessary. They ran in pairs. They weren't labeled. They look exactly the same on the outside. Same width, same thickness, everything. They even ran into the same part of the building. But I'll pay for it. And so what I ended up doing was giving them a $1,200 credit and working for free until I paid it off. And then they never used me again after that. Hmm. So that's when I learned be careful of the favors because you could end up really hurting yourself, but very embarrassing.
Well, but here's the thing. You owned up to it.
Yes.
You made it right.
And I never did it again.
And your conscience is clear. I mean, that's, you know, it never did it again. Right.
But most ordinary people would have gotten in and done the job they were hired to do. I saw that ceiling dropping. Like I saw it bowing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the hell's causing that ceiling to bow like that? And I look and I see this old network cable, not attached to anything at the end. And I'm like, I'll just pull this out of here. Oh, wait, there's more. Oh, well, I'll pull that out too. Oh, there's some more. Oh, it's running outside. Now I've started something I feel obligated I have to finish. I'm my own worst enemy.
Yeah. See, I would have never done that.
Yeah. No, and it wasn't my problem. Like, I didn't put the cable there.
Right.
If the ceiling collapsed and hurt people, it wasn't my problem. Not my fault. I was being a nice guy. And you got to be careful in the business world. Like I said, go back to that whole home user versus business. Home user, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? But a business, they weren't able to use their phones in that warehouse for a couple of days. And that severely impacted their business. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt. And I was 100% responsible for that. And it was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
And the reason I share the story is I'm hoping that there are other people that maybe is as naive as I am. And I'm giving them a reason. Don't do what I did, because here's how it worked out.
Right.
And there was nothing to gain. All I would have gained if everything worked perfectly like I thought. The bosses didn't care. It's not their building. It's a big corporation. The best they would have said is, oh, you did that? Okay. Thank you, I guess.
Right.
That would have been the best I could have hoped for. So it was really, really a bad decision. But that might have played out better if it was a home user and I saw their ceiling was coming in and I pulled the cable for them.
Right.
They might be like, oh, thank you. You know what I mean? Like, it's very different. And
well, they probably would have been like, we were afraid what that was.
Yeah, and we're glad you got it out of here.
Yep.
But it's this kind of thinking that I'm trying to get the home users, I'm trying to get them on board so they can at least say, there's got to be a reason he's doing it that way that I, you know, because I would just cut this corner. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I did that. And in all fairness, that happened a very long time ago. That's not recent.
But you remembered it.
And oh, I'll never forget it.
It's a guiding force through today.
So. It is absolutely a lesson to be learned in business versus what you do for a friend. Like if a friend invited me over and said, hey, help me get this cable down, and I start pulling it down and part of the ceiling collapses when we're doing it. Sorry about that, pal. But when someone's paying you for a job, and as a result of that, you're like, oh, well, I'm here. I'll just take care of this as a nice guy.
Right. You went out of scope. And causes
damage, you're liable.
Yeah. You went out of scope. That's not what we paid you for.
That's right.
You crossed the line. So.
Yep. And the whole time I was patting myself on the back going, aren't I a nice guy? Who else would do this? Nobody else would do this. This is why nobody else would have done that.
Right.
Now I know why. Now
you know. All right. Well, Kerry, I want to do this because this is now officially the longest podcast I've ever recorded.
Really? We're just getting started. We're going to talk about what was the first job you had.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about your thoughts on this.
We haven't even gotten
an important update that happened yesterday. That's got many corporations in a tizzy regarding CRIP32 DLL.
That one. Ugh.
Yep. And then what else can we talk about?
We can talk about a lot of things.
Status of Bitcoin?
No, I don't care about the Bitcoin. Don't care about the Bitcoin. But
well, here's the problem. Because we don't talk often enough, we have to have long discussions.
True.
So let's change that.
We can change that.
All right.
We can do that. And we will make that right and do a couple of things. And, you know, what it is, too, is that there are times when we do talk and there are other people involved, you know, that everybody has to get their voice in. So when we did our podcast in Michigan and there was, you know, the four podcasters walk into a room.
Yeah.
You know? Four podcasters who like to talk. So we didn't have enough time to talk even then.
I was a little upset because I can talk, you know, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes. So when you're in a conversation with me, sometimes you have to sort of be assertive and jump in to get your voice heard. And Matt Rainey just sat there for most. I'm like, come on, Matt, I wanted to shake him.
That was interesting. Because, you know, Matt likes to talk too. And, you know, it's the same. Here's the thing. I think out of the four that were in that room, I am the least talkative of the four. But seeing Matt not talk as much made me felt uncomfortable, if that makes sense.
I was uncomfortable because there would be the silence and I felt like I had to fill it. But maybe I wasn't leaving it silent enough for Matt to feel safe that he can talk. And I felt really, really, I still feel really self-conscious about it because I really like Matt.
I think it was just the nature of the night and the nature of the topics.
I hope so.
And it was, I don't remember if I even talked to him about that, but I don't, I mean, it, obviously he hasn't said anything. So I don't think
that could be a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't think there's anything to worry about.
I hope I didn't talk too much.
I don't think so.
Anyway, well, it is what it is. But TechCon Unplugged is happening again.
Yes, it is.
Are you going?
I do not know yet.
I hope you're going to go. It would be good to see you again. I'm looking forward to it. I will definitely be there. And I'd love to do that all over again. Yep. I'd love to get a second chance to be in a room with three other podcasters and challenge myself.
I mean, I've always told the guys, you want me to be there, I'll be there. I've already got so many things lined up this year. That I don't know my full schedule yet. I've got my March is already full with trips. I have two reunions coming up this year, one of which I am planning. I've got so many things. Like the wife and I, this weekend, we're actually sitting down to map out all the weekends that we are busy. So, and I've got more customers that are moving. So
That's always
just
fun.
It's a joy there. So a lot of stuff going on. I just, you know, if everything lines up, yes, I will be there. And it should be a great event, and I think it's going to be, I can't say bigger, because there's not, it's not a space that you grow into, but it will be better. I think we'll have many more sponsors there. I think that they are working on some great things. I haven't talked to them about it yet, so I don't know what their plans are, but from everything that I've heard, I think that they are planning on a much better event than they did last year. And last year was actually pretty good.
It was fantastic, especially for an inaugural event where everything can go wrong.
Right.
If things were going wrong, they hit it very well. It seemed to go very smoothly. I was staying at a place near Grand Rapids, Michigan, where the event takes place, and really loved the place. And I already made a reservation to be there next year. And I said I wanted to come a little bit later in the year when the weather's a little colder. And he said, I'll reserve these 2 weeks for you. And I said, you can pick any 2 weeks you want, to the owner of the property. He goes, how about these 2 weeks? I said, anything, I'll take it. If it's mid-September to mid-October, any 2 weeks I'll take. Then I get an email a month or 2 months later that says, hey, TechCon is coming back next year at the same place, but a week later. And I went, I'm going to be there.
Boom.
I've already made,
perfect.
I was going to be there anyway.
There you go.
So I have apparently meant to be there.
You are.
And it's a fantastic event. If you guys don't know about it, I imagine most listeners to your podcast know about it. It's really the only event for guys like you and me, self-employed IT techs, to find vendors that are willing to work at our quantities and to meet other people that are also doing what we're doing, to hear how they're overcoming some obstacles that we all share and to share their stories and their experiences. There wasn't a single panel they had that I was not interested in.
Good. Great.
Yeah. I just wish I could have had more time there, but I'm going to fix that this year. And like I said, I hope you're out there. It won't be the same if you're not there, but you know, it is what it is. Life is,
yep.
You know, we all have our responsibilities.
And we'll work on it. TechCon Unplugged, September 25th through the 27th in Grand Rapids this year. All right. So let me ask one thing, because I did tell everybody that I'm going to be doing this new little bit. Because everybody loved the Ben Franklin quotes, and I'm not going to go back to doing that. So we had to come up with something that I could do every show. And did you do your homework and find a little story about somebody doing something crazy stupid in Phoenix?
Can I just say, it's kind of an unfair game. Because you're in Florida, where all the crazy news comes from.
That's why it's called Florida Man versus the World.
Yeah. But it's I've got a story I can share.
Okay.
It's not, I don't think it's more sad than anything. It's not funny. But please, go ahead.
Well, I'll start with this week's Florida man. Actually, first, let me say this. So I've already gotten some responses to last week's Florida man story. And I had meant to do a live Facebook to tell everybody where to go and to vote and stuff. But if you go to the show note, it will direct you to the two stories. And it was Florida man versus Toronto, Canada last year, last week. And you go to the Podnuts Pro Facebook page, and the poll is there where you can vote for which story. And there is no criteria. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the funniest to you or the craziest to you or the stupidest to you. Whichever story appeals to you the most, that's what you vote for. So I'm not going to reveal the voting from last week, because I'm actually going to keep the voting up for a month for each. But here's what the contest is not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be you emailing me or calling me to tell me if I've seen the latest Florida man story. So that's the thing. So if you're going to call me and say, hey, did you see the Florida man throw the alligator through the drive-thru? Yeah, that's not what it is. So this week, I picked a story that is out of Tallahassee. And the reasons I picked it are not going to be evident to everybody. But the title of the story is Florida Man Drove on Airport Runway After Stealing FedEx Truck to Get Home. So if any of you checked Facebook recently, you would have noticed that I have put on two stories about my dealings with UPS over getting a package from Fort Lauderdale, Florida to Port St. Lucie, Florida, which is an hour and 20-minute drive, a package that should have arrived on Tuesday because I sent it on Monday. That package arrived the following Wednesday. So it has basically been 7, 8, 9, 10 days for that package to get to where it was going. So I just thought, well, let me find a Florida man story. And I found this one where a Port Richey man got arrested because they stole a FedEx truck and drove it onto the runway of the Tallahassee International Airport. It was a 23-year-old guy, and he told the Tallahassee police officers that he was trying to get back home in Pasco County, but did not know where he was or how he got to Tallahassee. Now, some of you may also know that Pasco County is a county in Florida that is near Tampa. So Tampa to Tallahassee is a few hours apart by car. Pasco County is also a police department that has been seen on the show Live PD.
That's where I've heard of it.
Yes. So that's the reason I thought it was great. And so Florida man steals a FedEx car, drives onto a airport runway. And it was pretty funny. So
he doesn't know how he got there.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a couple of stories that come to mind. But is it supposed to be from my home state?
That was the goal of the game. But if you don't have anything in Phoenix,
they had a woman here that was trying to steal. She was trying to take a kid away from her mother, and then she tried to take another kid away from her mother, and tried to take a third kid. And the mother's was at a park, and the mother's, basically tackled her to the ground and called police, and then her mother went on the news and apologized for her daughter's behavior and that she's fallen into drugs, and in a way she's happy this happened because now she's in jail. And she's apologizing.
Tonight, new details about a story you will only.
The woman tries to snatch baby out of mother's arms in front of Phoenix Elementary School.
Yeah, I think she tried three different. She tried to grab three different kids.
Okay.
Like not just one kid. Like when she couldn't grab one, she went for another one, and she was like, trying to save these kids. Like good drugs, apparently. Like that's totally worth saving your money up so that you can have this really traumatic personal experience for yourself the person who took the drugs. So that's really just sad. We have our share of wrong way drivers every day, and pedestrians pretty much every day getting hit and killed or severely injured. That's pretty much every day. But there was a story in the news today out of England about a Texas, well, I guess it's not out of England, it's out of Texas. Texas gamer saves life of friend who has seizure nearly 5,000 miles away in the UK.
Oh.
And this is an interesting story. A friend forged a friendship forged nearly 5,000 miles apart, helped to save the life of a 17-year-old boy in the UK. Aiken Jackson of, Widnes, was chatting with his gaming friend in Texas when he reportedly suffered a dangerous seizure. When their conversation suddenly stopped, he became worried and scoured the internet for the correct emergency service number. She called somebody to help Aiden, who was a friend she had never met in person. Shortly after the call, Aiden's parents say police cars with flashing lights pulled up at their home, and they had no idea why. They were downstairs watching TV and were not aware their son was in trouble in his bedroom. How crazy is that?
Wow.
Right? The parents are downstairs. They're 20 feet away, 50 feet away. This person from 5,000 miles away sends emergency services to the home.
There it is. Yep. They'd received
the
a call.
The teen was rushed to the hospital, underwent numerous tests, but he was discharged the following afternoon and doing a lot better. And they said, we're extremely grateful for what that person did and shocked that we could be downstairs and not know anything was happening. And said it and said, I've spoken and spoken to the person and expressed our thanks. And the person responded that they were just glad they could help.
There you go.
So see, not everybody calls the police for swatting reasons when gaming online.
Right.
There's always another side to the coin.
Yeah.
But there was a story, and I don't know if this was probably about 8 months ago, about a serial pooper in Denver. And the way that they wrote the article was hilarious. They really had a lot of fun with it. But people were finding feces that was too big to be from a dog.
The mad pooper.
And it was happening over and over and over again. And they were trying to determine who the person responsible was. And the way the article, there was a lot of tongue-in-cheek phrasing, made that article very funny. So if you can look that article up, that may make for an interesting, although, you know, it's already happened. It's not current.
Yeah, I think I remember. Yeah, the mad pooper in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Yeah. So do you remember that one?
Yep, I remember that. I was trying to remember if that was a clip that, because I think, so here's what one of the things Live PD does is it will do crimes of the week where it will do segments. And I think that this was a segment where they actually got on Live PD and they were like asking for help. Does anybody recognize this person who is because they will do stories just like that. There was a guy who was licking doorbells.
Right. That's right. On Ring doorbells.
Yes.
Yeah. With
on
the
Ring
cameras.
Yes.
But what about, did you see the guy that was trolling Live PD? They pulled this guy over. And he has like a mannequin in his passenger seat. And he's acting like this. Well, basically, he knew Live PD. He knew the police department in his area were filming on Live PD.
Okay, right.
And he set himself up to be pulled over on live TV and then acted like he was out of his mind crazy. And of course, they had him doing the roadside sobriety test, and his answers to the questions that they were asking him were, if you weren't in on this, you were like, what's wrong with this guy?
Oh.
But if you were, it's the funniest thing you've ever seen, but a complete waste of resources, a complete waste and disrespect of a police officer's time. He just literally put himself to be on TV to troll the police.
I must have missed that one because I usually watch every Friday and some Saturday. So there are some episodes that I miss. So I must have missed that.
And I think I might be mistaken, but I think it was out of Florida.
Of course.
If you just type in guy hilariously trolls live PD or dude ruthlessly trolls live PD, it's all through Reddit. And,
yep. Here we go. Prankster gets pulled over, trolls cops. Let's see where he was based out of.
Florida.
Where's the story? That didn't link to the story. So, dude, ruthlessly
trolls.
Oh, sorry,
looks like it was Greene County, Missouri.
Oh, Missouri? This thread is archived. Greene County, yeah, Greene County, Missouri. Yep, there it is.
Yeah, well, the guy actually got arrested because even though they couldn't determine that he was, you know, he was passing the roadside sobriety test, but they knew something was, let's get this guy off the road. You know, he's talking to imaginary people in his car. Something's wrong with this guy. And so he ended up getting himself arrested.
Yep, I remember.
Seems like, well, that's hilarious.
Yeah, this happened April of last year. Right? So that's,
was it been that long?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So do you watch Live PD or did you just remember the story?
I will watch. So I've been really busy lately and I haven't had much time. But if there's Live PD is often in Phoenix.
Yes, I was going to say that you've been on there many times.
That's right. Thankfully, I've never been on Live PD. I hope I never am. I don't like it when it appears that I see cops doing things I don't think they should be doing when I watch that show. Like, it just seems like they're harassing people sometimes. But other times, like if there's a car chase, oh, I'm watching it. I don't know why. I'm just fascinated by where these people think they're going and how often do these people ever, how often do you ever see a guy get away with a car chase?
So it's happened what? It's happened at least twice on Live PD.
Yeah, it's happened, but it's not normal.
No, it's not.
The idea that you think you can outrun them is silly.
And they've always come back to say, you know, hey, a couple of days later or whatever, they got caught up with them and, you know, they were eventually arrested.
Right. Yep.
So it's just, it's not like they get away for years.
So. But there are times where I watch the show and it just feels like they're out there fishing. They're finding what are you doing out here tonight? What brings you out here? Where were you? Where'd you come from? Like, you know, look, if you don't have anything on the guy, leave him alone.
You know, it is funny because a lot of people do complain about that, but then there are obviously the times where they do that and, you know, they find illegal firearms and drug stashes and stuff. So it's one of those catch, you know, 2020s or 50, whatever you call them, you know, where.
Catch 22. Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, there was one I saw and I just felt bad for the guy and the cops were just really giving him a hard time. And then he misspoke. He said something he shouldn't have said. They said something like, you got weed on you, don't you? And I smell it. And he goes, no, I don't smoke weed.
Oh,
he goes, I just moved out here. I don't even know anybody I could buy it from. I'm like, oh, why did you say that?
I remember that. Yes.
No, he said, I don't have any connections out here.
Right.
That's what he said. And I went, oh, you were doing so well.
Yes.
I don't smoke weed. It's not on me. Now shut up. Mm-hmm. But then he said, I just moved out here and I don't have any connections.
Right. So,
whoops,
everything you said before that, just erase. Let's start over.
What is it like the old thing about you stole that lady's purse? No, I didn't. It did. And she says it had $20 in it. Well, she's a liar. It had 30. It had $10 in it.
That's right.
She's lying. It wasn't $20 in that purse.
Oh, my goodness. So.
All right. Well, listen, it was a lot of fun. I really appreciate you. And I really enjoyed our conversation and I enjoy that we can have this kind of conversation, you know, that we don't have to just pander
right.
to one another, you know, that we can express ourselves and share these thoughts for, because I think it's better. Like if I'm a listener, this is more what I want to hear. I want to hear opposing opinions, but I don't want to hear people fight.
As opposed to the Facebook groups where after 5 minutes, you're doing it wrong. You're an idiot.
Somebody goes into a forum, let's say, and they say, I need help with this thing. And then somebody responds on the forum. Well, try this and try that. Then somebody responds to the person who responded and said, don't tell them to do that. It'd be much easier if they did it this. And then someone says, why don't you leave that person alone? They didn't do anything to you. And then like 45 messages down the thread, you realize the person who asked the question has never responded to any of these people.
Like, right.
Did they even come back and look for an answer? Like 3 days have passed and there's nothing from this other person saying thank you. And nobody's asking. They're so involved with their internal argument. They've forgotten all about the person who asked the question.
Absolutely.
And they all say, I'm just trying to help.
Yeah. Which is funny because I find we just added another 10 minutes to the show. Because I do that all the time. I'm in the Facebook and I'm looking at stuff and I may want to respond, but I'll see the responses that were already there. And I'm like, I'm not getting involved.
Yep. Yeah.
Because we're no longer talking about the original question anymore.
No, I've learned to just private message the individual. Like if I think I can help, I'll be like, yeah, here's what I would write. I wouldn't put it publicly because you just.
Or ask them, did you get an answer? Did you get a resolution to the problem you were asking about?
Well, that's certainly worth considering as well, but do it privately.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's really a shame because I truly believe everybody involved honestly thinks they're helping the person. There's the advice that guy gave you is dangerous. Don't listen to that guy. And the other guy's going, it's not dangerous. It's what, you know.
Again, just like us, different philosophies, different approaches. And many times we can all get to the same place.
Yes, but unfortunately, there are people on the internet that will see how gullible you are and think it's funny that if you delete System 32, you'll actually do it to solve your problem, you know, or Format C will fix your problem.
Right.
Or put your computer back in a box, take it back to the store where you bought it and tell them you're too stupid, you're too on a computer. They think that's funny. I find it profoundly offensive. It's like, just why was it necessary? You know, could you just
right
not said anything if it wasn't going to be helpful? But that doesn't work in a business because nobody's got any liability to what they're saying. Right. It's all coming from fake names like Uncle Marv.
Yes.
Right?
Such a faker.
So always consider consider your source, people. Whenever you're getting information online, always verify it. Consider the source.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, my friend. So we will come back again and have enlightened discussions.
I hope so.
And I will find a way to make this a regular on whether it's Podnuts Pro or something else that we do to do that.
I would love it, and I hope we'll just have something to talk about.
Yes. We'll always have something to talk about.
It doesn't seem to be a problem, does it?
No, it does not. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you have just listened to a very long podcast with your Uncle Marv.
And Uncle Carrie.
And Uncle Carrie.
That's what I call myself now.
The two boomers of the industry.
I am Gen X. Thank you very much.
That's true. We are Gen X. I just saw that the other day. I didn't realize I was
boomers.
I didn't realize I was a Gen Xer.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
And did you know
and
that?
There's a difference. You are different than your parents, right?
I certainly hope so.
Thank you. That's how I feel.
Did you see the story where Boomer makes it to the Supreme Court?
I think all Supreme Court members are boomers. Well, no, I guess.
It says, okay, boomer makes it to the Supreme Court. Let me look at this. I didn't look at the story yet.
I'd rather be a boomer than a snowflake.
The Supreme Court justices were hearing a case concerning the standard a federal employee.
Oh, the guy stood up and shouted.
Must meet to show that his employer had engaged in unlawful age discrimination. What if a hiring person were to say, okay, boomer, is that actionable?
Oh, that's not what I thought it was. Okay.
Now, this is a Supreme Court from today, January 15th, 2020. And I guess I'll have to look. We'll read that later.
That's silly.
Yes.
Those names, they're so, the noises we make with our mouths cause so much issue. Right?
They do.
It's just a noise.
There's a Ben Franklin quote for that, but I'm not going to go look for it now. Is it something where the...
Does it say you shouldn't believe everything you read on the internet? Quote, unquote, Ben Franklin?
No, probably should say something like that. It's probably like a wise man watches his words, a fool man speaks them, or I don't know, something like that.
That's more like a Confucius thing, I think. Are you sure that was Franklin and not Confucius?
I don't know. I was looking as fast as I can to see if I could find it without drawing a ton of dead air on here.
Okay, Boomer.
The heart of a fool is in his mouth, but the mouth of a wise man is in his heart.
Ooh, that's very well said.
It's not the one I was looking for, but that's a good one.
I like that one.
Any fool
like
can,
how eloquent.
Any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most fools do.
Ooh, that's a good one, too.
All right.
My advice is don't take any diet advice from anybody fatter than you.
Speaking of diet, you probably don't listen to my show regularly enough, but I last week we were talking about diet apps. Do you did you hear anything about my diet app?
No. Tell me about it.
Okay. So I got this app called where is it? And we were talking about it. It's called my something. My Net Diary. So we were going through it, and I got this about 2 weeks ago, and because I've got these reunions coming up, I thought, let me get rid of this porch sitting in front of my abs, and I thought I would use it to count calories and stuff, and of course, the wife looked at it, and she goes, you can't use this. You need something else. So somebody actually emailed me already, and I don't have time to go look who it is, but they emailed me an app called Carb Manager, which is another calorie counter, but it is actually based on the keto diet, which my wife says you can't use that either.
What if you just go vegan?
I can't go vegan. I like my meat.
Okay.
So I have two apps that I've been trying to use, neither of which are working. And the reason they're not working is really because they're more geared towards documenting like restaurant foods, not home foods, because we actually cook a lot of our food. We actually, you know, I don't just get drinks. I make shakes and I do. And so I can't find the foods that I eat in these apps. So if anybody is still listening and you have an app that you are using where you can actually document real food in the app that isn't tied to, you know, one of these diet programs and their foods, that's what I'm looking for.
Did you know that the FDA just passed a law as of, I think, January 1st, that on the back of a package of food, it now has to list the contents, the calorie content or the nutritional content of eating the entire package instead of just one serving?
Really? That's...
Yeah, it's a law.
Wow.
There's some things where you're just like, only in America could somebody not do the math. You know, this is how much one serving has, and there's 8 servings in this bag. So you could multiply that times 8. No. Americans need to know this is one serving, and this is if you eat the whole package. And wow, you'll start seeing that now in all the food you buy.
I mean, I guess I get it because people are, you know, not managing themselves and eating an entire bag. So I guess, but you're right. The fact that we can't do the math ourselves.
You know I've got a couple apps out now, right? Do you know that?
No, I don't.
I've got a little app called Uncle Kerry's Windows 10 Optimizer.
Okay.
And when I build a computer for a client, there's things like I turn off drive indexing and I turn off, there's like a slow delay or an added delay for Windows because it's intended for a mechanical hard drive. And I just take that out because all my computers are all solid state. And I turn off hibernation because who needs it on a desktop? Right. And your hibernation file is the size of RAM you've got. And if you've got a solid state drive, space is at a premium. And I got tired of doing this all by hand. So I contacted Nick Shaw over at D7X Tech. You know who he is?
Yep. I know Nick and I've already found your page. Go ahead.
And so I asked Nick if he could write me an app that would automate this. So I wouldn't have to worry about inconsistency if I get distracted. It would happen just with the click of a mouse. And I was showing it to my audience and they said, would you sell it? And I said, well, that's not why I wrote it, but okay, we'll sell it for like 10 bucks or whatever.
Yep.
And we sold like 1,000 copies of it. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. So I ran into another problem with a client, the lawyer client, where they have like these 12 PCs.
Right.
And they're trying to browse the network and some computers won't appear when browsing the network. Some of these computers are brand new. Others were upgraded from Windows 7 to 10 with in-place upgrades.
Right.
And I found an article online that went through, check this service, check that service, you know, check this, check that. And there were six computers that would not appear on the network. And four of them had completely different resolutions. And two of them just had outdated network card, you know, just updating the network card driver fixed it. And then I got another call from another client, you know, I can't see certain computers on my network. Now you can access them by going // and type the computer name in. But employees don't know how to do that. And they want to be able to see, I can't connect to her printer because I can't see her. I can't see her computer, but I can see, how come I can see some and not others? I'm like, I don't know. It's just a peer-to-peer network. It's pretty simple stuff. And when I looked at it by hand, like I said, of the, I can't remember if it was 4 out of 6 or 3 out of 4, each had a different solution to the problem.
Right.
So when another customer called, I'm like, oh, here we go again. And then I was having the problem in my own home. I said, hey, Nick, can you write me an app to automate? Because if it's just something you got to go through step by step by step, and it's always the same. I was at that client's office for 3 hours going through the steps on each of those 6 computers. So Nick says, yeah, here's an app for you. He writes it. We test it. This will automatically turn on file discovery, or what's it called? Just discovery, whatever it is, to share your computer. You have to enable the computer to be discoverable, right? That's all off by default.
Network,
for
yeah,
security
network
reasons.
Neighborhood discovery. Yeah.
And then you have to make sure, just if you want to share, you have to make sure you're on a private network and not a public network. Where do you go to change that? If you want to check your IP address, or if you want to change your work group or verify, the app shows you everything. It says, here's your IP. And if you click on the IP, it'll take you to your network connection so you can quickly change it if you need to. Here's your gateway. So if you click on that, it'll open the browser to your gateway so you can log in and make any changes if you need to.
Right.
Where it says your work group name, you can click on that. It takes you to the work group and computer name section so you can change them. It's all connected to the app. Then it says you can check these little boxes and we'll verify all the services that are needed to be run or run. And you hit OK and it takes a moment and then it reboots. It network works every single time on every computer I've tested it with. And if you like, I'll send you those and you can check them out and tell me what you think. There's nothing magical. It's all stuff you can do by hand, but this does it faster.
Well, I was going to say, I think I've seen bits and pieces where people have scripted stuff like that because I have looked myself to do that. And I've always thought, man, if I could just put all of these in one place.
You and I had the same thought.
So, yes. So I've already found
everything from flushing DNS to resetting WinSock, which shouldn't be necessary.
Well, it should.
Like I said, enabling discovery and verifying all those services. Like on the computers I was looking at, it would say the service that needs to be running was set to automatic, and then the status was not running.
Not running, right.
Why isn't it running? So you'd have to say, force it to run. And each computer was different. They didn't have the same problem. So I finally got the app. I just publicly released it yesterday. It's fresh. So I'd very much love to hear your thoughts on it.
Send that one to me.
Of course, I'm always open to any suggestions to make it better.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I always, those are the types of things where, again, we need to have discussions amongst each other with stuff like that. Cause I know that other people, I've talked to people and like, okay, if we could take all of these little tips here and tips there and tricks and scripts and get them in the one place.
Well, yeah. But here's the thing. So Nick has D7X. And it's complicated. Like it's over with. It's like looking at the cockpit of an airplane.
So I have D7, but I won't upgrade to the X. And I barely use the 2, so I'm still using the original D7.
So these are like little pieces of what may be in D7, if you know what I mean? Like if you really get into it.
Right.
But they're uniquely mine, and they're designed to do one thing. You know, the Windows optimization app isn't there to customize Windows, it's there to optimize. So I've had some people say, why don't you do this or do that? And it had to do with like changing wallpaper or stuff like that. No. This is if you have suggestions to optimize the computer, then yes. but not to customize it. That's different.
Yeah.
And as far as the networking app goes, I tested it live on a video yesterday during live YouTube.
Okay.
And I was a little embarrassed because my server didn't show up because I had built this computer and I'm like, right out of the gate, just fresh and new, the computer's not ready to be on a network because it's turned off by default. Now we can turn that all on by hand, or I can just run my app. It'll just take care of everything.
Right.
So I run my app and I see two computers. I see the computer that I'm on and my office computer. And I realize my server's not showing up. I have a Synology NAS.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, maybe I've got some fixing to do to my app. I don't know, guys. And I end my live stream going, whatever it is, you get free updates for at least a year. Don't worry about it. Later that night, I looked on my office computer and I can't see the server either. I always just map a drive letter to it and I don't think about it. I never try and browse for it. So I logged into the DSM software on the Synology and there's a little checkbox called Enable WS Discovery. So there was nothing wrong with my app. But then I realized my streaming computer is not showing up on my network either. And maybe I didn't have public network set. I don't care. I just ran my app on it.
Right.
And all of a sudden, all the computers on my network can all see each other.
Oh.
So what I'm suggesting is there's nothing magical that it's doing, and there might have been another way to resolve it that didn't require the app. But the app just makes it super easy.
Right.
Just run the damn thing. Now, how this might help on a client server network, no idea. But on peer-to-peer, which is all my clients, this is going to be a lifesaver for me, a time saver.
Send me that because all of my networks are client server. I don't have any peer networks.
So then you probably don't have any browsing issues.
Not that I've been told, but remember, I've got customers where there's techs on site. They may get those questions that don't make it to me. I can at least look at it. I'll let you know on a domain scenario what it does.
Yeah, I'd be kind of curious. It would be useful at all because usually that's all controlled by the server. But on a peer-to-peer, that's when things get hairy, you know, especially the Windows 10 settings, depending on what version of Windows 10 you've got.
Right.
And whether or not you upgraded and it carried settings over from Windows 7. All I knew was I was pulling my hair out. I was like 3 hours. Remember, these computers were all accessible on the network. They just didn't appear in browsing.
In browsing, right.
And it was driving the client nuts. And
yeah, you're
and
right. I don't have, there's maybe one or two scenarios where I have users pointing to a PC as opposed to a server, even for printing, because we don't. I even got asked in another last week when we moved client, they weren't going to have their copier on the network, which is what they print to. For the following day, and they said, well, can you set up a, you know, printer share to this person's computer? And we said, no, we didn't do it. So I just don't have those sharing scenarios, like you mentioned, in a peer network. So,
but you still might find the tool useful if you ever encounter a friend or your own situation there at home. And you're like, that is weird. These computers are not showing up when I browse. Even though you're a technical person, you don't need that. You might be like me and be like, well, I got to fix this because it ain't right.
Right.
I'll try Carrie's tool. And it's one click and a restart. That's all it is. So yeah, I'll get you links to those. That's Uncle Carrie's Windows 10 Optimizer, which won't hurt you to run.
Right.
No harm in that. And then there's Uncle Carrie's Windows 10 Netfix. And those are both created by Nick Shaw of D7X Tech in a collaboration I'm doing with him. And if you can think of other little apps that would be useful of repetitive work that guys like us have to do that can automate it, let me know. Because I'm looking to do exactly what you're saying, where there's a tool for this and there's a tool for that. These tools should all be in the same place. But better yet, all these tools will be from Uncle Carrie. So they'll all have the same interface, the same look, the same quality.
All right. Sounds good.
So there's a little self-promotion. I'm really proud of it, though. I am going to save so much time. If I'd had this app, I'd have been in and out of my customer's place in 20 minutes instead of 3 hours. So.
Or you connect remotely, throw the app over, run it. Don't even have to.
Oh, yeah. I certainly could have done that in hindsight. Thanks. This client's this. Remember the one I said I had to drive a half an hour to reboot a router?
That was them.
Same client. Yeah. I drove a half an hour on the weekend and sat at each workstation individually until it started to appear on the network. Then went to the next workstation. And I would go through this list of things to check. And you had to start at the top of the list with each computer. I can only sit at one computer at a time. The only thing that my app wouldn't have helped with, two of the machines had old network card drivers. I don't know why Windows 10 did not give it the latest network interface card driver, but I just went to the card manufacturer, downloaded the driver, put it in, and problem was fixed.
Yeah.
I wish I could have gotten away that easy with the rest of them.
Hmm.
But it really bothered me that, you know, once I had solved it on the first one, I immediately did the last thing that fixed it on the next one, and it didn't fix it.
Oh.
So it's like, oh, it's a different problem. Then I went to the next one, and that was a different problem. So this, apart from updating your network card driver, this little app should solve all peer-to-peer Windows 10 networking problems. And again, it's not anything you can't do by hand. None of my apps are anything you couldn't do by hand. But I'm just tired of the repetition. And if I get distracted while I'm doing it, I can't remember where I left off. Yeah. You know, it's like you're counting money, 800, 900. 852, someone's shouting 17.
Right.
Where was I? So the app gives it a consistency and a speed. And that's why I'm so excited about it, because I think people are going to think I'm smarter when I come over there and fix their problem in 20 minutes instead of 3 hours.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, I'll make sure you get copies of those. And like I said, I'd be interested to hear your feedback.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then, yeah, if anybody knows about diet apps, I just think eat less. Smaller portions, less often.
Yeah. I wish it were that easy.
Keep yourself so busy that you don't have time to eat.
But I have a wife that makes sure that I eat.
She help you there.
She sticks a plate of food in front of me.
Especially if the cooking is really good.
I'm sitting here in front of my computers and she sticks a food, I'm eating it. And when it's done, so I tell her, I can't tell you how. That's a whole nother show.
Fair enough.
All right, folks.
Wish I had your problem.
Yeah. We have had a long show, folks. I'll probably break this up into two.
Maybe three.
But you have been listening to Uncle Marv and Uncle Carrie, Carrie Holzman of YouTube fame. And we have had a nice conversation that we should probably have more often, as you said, and we will make sure that that happens. So
I hope so.
I'm not going to do anything to tell you about what to do. You guys know what to do. Support the show. Head over to the page. Look at all the show notes. Support the affiliates. And, either hit up Carrie's Amazon page or my Amazon page to help us keep doing what we do.
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me. It was a real pleasure.
Alrighty, sir.
Seriously.
That's a wrap, folks. Until next time, holla.